Welcome to the Lost and Found. Happy March. Let us march on. Let us keep going. Let us not forget where we came from, where we started this year, where we were this time last year, all of that. But that's not where we're here today. Well, it's somewhat connected. It's always connected. So lately, I've been reading from Psalms in the Bible. And there's a curious word that has arose a few times now. The word Selah. Now, Selah, as I've found, is considered to have various meanings depending upon the context. Selah comes in between a stanza or verse and indicates a pause. Some scholars say Selah is a form of musical notation symbolizing somewhat of a praise break. And then there are some which regard the term Selah as a form of reflection or contemplation. Now, unfortunately, Selah is one of those words that we have somewhat lost in translation, but I believe that it's time for us to reclaim our Selah. This life itself is somewhat of an extended reflection or continual creative endeavor. We pursue many things: money, passion, pleasure, love, community. But in order to reach our exhaustive list of destinations, we must all pass through the period known as the wait. The pause that bridges origin and fruition, the wait. The road where imagination intersects with reality, the wait. The passage where promises are fulfilled. When you wait, something supremely surreal begins to take shape. There is a vision, there is a word presiding over our very lives, lifting and loving into existence. God's great plan for us. Though the dilemma of our day is that we are finding so many ways to evade the wait. Technological advancements have come at the expense of diminished patience, a startling sense of restlessness, and a stifling sense of urgency. In the words of the philosopher Dallas Willard, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Now, I got to shout out my inspiration for this message, because I got a book gifted to me about 2 years ago. The author is John Mark Comer, and it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I've had this book, like I said, for about 2 years now, but it wasn't until recently that it started speaking to me, and I felt a real need for what he calls the deep resonance with reality. Now, the writer of the foreword of this book, John Ortberg, states that for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live my life to the fullest. I'm tired of being comfortable with where I'm at. And on top of all of that, I'm waiting for something. Something more. I'm waiting for that next thing. I'm waiting for the advancement. And you're waiting for something. We all are waiting for something. So today I want to just share with you 7 lessons that I've learned in this particular season of waiting. Number 1, your value is affirmed in an acceptance, but it is established in your wait. Waiting reveals to you and reminds you that you are the prize. I am the investor and not simply an investment. It's about what can said opportunity do for you, not just what can you do for it. It is up to us to ultimately discern and decide, will said opportunities purposefully enhance and propel us toward where God would have us go? I realized in my own way that what I'm sitting on is going to change the world. The things that he's revealed to me in my writing, in my reflection, in my devotional time, I see so much more value in it that I begin to beg the question of what side of history will this school be on? What do I mean? So I've applied for a fellowship that I'm waiting to hear back on right now. And initially, there's this sense of like, I really, could use and leverage this opportunity to help advance me and take me to the next level. But when you really get into the weeds of things and you start working as if you're already there, as I've done, God has already shown me that, like, you don't need that. That can help, but you don't need it. And so it peels back the veneer and allows us to see with greater clarity and sensitivity the fact that our wants are not always needs. So I understand that wherever I end up going, wherever I am accepted and ultimately decide to go, that space is going to be blessed because I know the value of what I have. Cornell and Harvard did not give me my value. They affirmed it, but my value was established already in the pursuit, because they don't accept and invest in you unless somehow you've demonstrated your value. That in some way you've made evident already. They invest in where they have evidence, where there's promise and great possibility. So the value does not come when you're accepted. It's affirmed. When you have a sense of somebody-ness, you know your value. What's distinguished will not diminish. Michael Jordan, 6 NBA championships. We still talk about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan been retired for some time now. His greatness did not diminish. Yes, other players come along. I'm a big LeBron fan. I'm not going to get into the GOAT debate. But we don't need to diminish either one. They can both be distinguished for their respective accomplishments. Toni Morrison, she had so many challenges, as I understand, trying to get her work published initially. It was denied many times because of her content. Toni Morrison has since passed on, but yet copies are still being reprinted. Her works are considered classics. So, point number two, waiting invites us to embrace the process. If all you're focused on is the destination, then you'll miss the beauty of the journey. God wants you to arrive with a testimony. That's why it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be when we want it. It'll be when God says it's time. And when we neglect the process, we risk entering with excitement, but no endurance. God is going to take you on such a ride that when you arrive, you've got a story to tell. God will have you wait in such a way that when you make it, you'll know that it wasn't by your merit, wasn't by your achievement, but it was by His grace. Statistically, you weren't supposed to make it. They've never accepted anyone like you before. The position didn't exist before you applied, but God made a way. Some of the waits we're a part of have been generational. So you're going to be the first in your family to go to college. You're going to be the first to graduate from college. You're going to be the first to do something no other generation has done before. So your wait is not just about you. And that can be tiring. It can be tiring to feel the pressure and feel the weight of, oh, I gotta break this generational curse. No, you have a generational blessing behind you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You have to embrace the process. Point number 3, waiting exposes your intentions. If the line is too long, some of us just gonna walk out, no matter the context. But those of us who wait are desperate. Desperate for fruition. Some of us got that, I can't leave until I get what I came for, I'm leaving with something mentality. My ancestors died for the right to vote, so yes, I'm gonna stand in line at the polls. That is why, or this is why, many relationships fail. Because people can't wait. Because one person or both people lack the patience to develop over time. Now, I'm no love doctor, but I know from experience that I've run into some things that I should have waited on. Can we be real? Waiting makes you question. Point number 4. God, is what you told me true? Did you really mean it? Can I really do this? How can I lead these people? But we write with so much confidence on the application. But now the interview is here. The first day is here. You look up and you're in your second year. Now you're questioning, can I do this? But the reason why you continue to wonder despite all God has done for you is because there comes a time when faith is no longer something we read about, but something we have to live. So learning to have faith in this season looks different from what it did in the last. And I can testify, I just get in such a craze and start to just scold myself for feeling like I haven't been faithful. I haven't been trusting God. Like, why am I questioning? Why is this happening right now? But because of His grace, I was reminded that no, it just looks different in this season. You have to apply it. It's not this one-time covering for the rest of your life. Oh, I had faith when I was in fifth grade for this thing. Oh, God, you blessed me, you know, last year because of my faith in that season. But what about now? What about today? Some of us are so stagnant because of the blessings of last year. But what about the daily bread? God wants to give you more today. The atmosphere has changed. So we're not in the little league no more. You graduated from high school. You graduated from college. You living on your own. You got your own job. Whatever it looks like for you, all of our seasons, all of our atmospheres are different. You called for the ball, and now it's in your hands. Like Noemi Rainey said, she said, "We ordered the stage came, and now we're standing on the stage." In order for God to bring you into what he created you to be, he's got to take you through some things. He's going to put you on some stages, and it's not always about your readiness either. I've been on stages. I was on a stage for my preschool graduation. I know a lot of folks are like, preschool graduation? Yes, we had a preschool graduation, and I was like the MC. I had a moment where I was on stage. I cried off the stage, and I was devastated. Preschool. Little Lawrence. I cried off the stage. Now I get paid to speak. I'm not bragging. I'm testifying because I remember the fear. I remember wondering, why did they put me up here? When I tell you, God has walked with me ever since then with such grace and love that more stages came. And I began to walk towards them. I had people walk with me onto the stage. People who said, "I will stand with you up here. I'm going to show you how to do this." So more stages came, and I began running towards them. And now I'm not even in a hurry to speak. The stages seek me. Hear me. Please understand that I ain't trying to be arrogant. This is an indicator that God is moving in your life. God is trying to advance you to a new level. It's not about what you can find, but it's about what can find you. And so a sign that God wants to accomplish something is that the opportunity will reach out to you. But some of us are so stiff and secretive about our gifts, about our opinions, but that's the very light God has given you to shine. I was shy at first. I used to not want to share my work with really anybody. But the growth is gradual. And God sent safe spaces for me to confide in, to share, and that's what he's doing for you. If God is trying to bless you, he'll bring you fresh soil. We're out looking for harvest, but haven't planted anything. God is going to bring you people who will water you with encouragement. God is going to plant you in the proper position. And you're going to need the sun. A sign that you're in the right spot is you're dependent on God. If when you head into the appointment, when you're going into the surgery, when you're going into the interview, when you're about to sit on the panel, when you're going to get on the call and you don't feel like you need to pray or in some way seek God for the strength to proceed, then you have to ask yourself, am I in the right place? Not physically, spiritually. You can't do this thing alone. This breath was inherited. That courage that you have, it was inherited. We don't do anything alone. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This was my scripture of the year last year. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power love, and a sound mind. God has given us this spirit. And the scripture, the word, lets us know what type of spirit he gave to us. So knowing what type of spirit God gave you should help you discern what type of spirit you're walking in. If you're walking in fear, that's not God-given. Scripture also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So in that sense of fear. But the point here is that it's all inherited. Every gift comes from above. So the prayer becomes, God, I've done this 1,000 times, but it's only because of your power. I stand up in front of students every Saturday program we have, and I speak to them, I teach, and I be needing to pray every week because I'm like, God, I know you've done it before, but I'm anxious right now because I care and I want to do this right, but I need your presence. I need your power. We need a word from you. Have your way in this space. Sometimes you just got to pray over the atmosphere, pray over the space, pray over the people. Your prayers are powerful. Okay, point number 5. Waiting will make you honest. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? First time I heard that humbled me real quick. The question is, what have you done with what you have? Not about what you hope to have, not about what you dream of having, not about the one day. What about the today? What have you done with it? What have you done with your influence? What have you done with your platform? What have you done with your resources? See, there are really two seasons as it pertains to the wait. You're either waiting to be seen or you're being seen. The people who are the best at waiting are the ones who know they're always being seen. God is watching. That's why they say your theology affects your psychology. Your belief about God affects your sense of self. Therefore, we must believe that we are seen when we are high, seen when we are low, seen when we are joyous, seen when we are sorrowful. Whether we're inside or outside, it's all within the scope of God's sights. Okay, you need some Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. This is when Samuel is anointing David, who is about to succeed Saul as the king of Israel. Verse 7 reads, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him.'" Him referring to Eliab, the oldest son of Jesse. So David was the youngest of, I believe, 7 sons of Jesse. And so when Samuel approached Jesse and his sons to figure out who the Lord was calling him to anoint as the next king, he was assuming, based on the appearance and the stature of the oldest son, that that was the one. But verse 7 continues on to say, "Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but God sees the heart." So what this means is God sees your emotions. God sees your intentions. God sees with a sight human eyes cannot even comprehend. I told God I want to be a professor. and here I am, an advisor. Oh, it's easy to get frustrated when what you say you want, you don't have. But what's more devastating is getting it and not being able to handle it. We serve a God of precision. God is preparing you. Many of us want to be promoted and elevated without having demonstrated that we can lead. My mind goes to Joshua and Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. This was Moses, the man God gave miraculous authority to confront injustice and free his people out of bondage. Y'all know Moses, the man in charge, the man that the Lord called by way of burning bush. It was Moses, the leader of a mass liberation movement, the Great Exodus. Moses, who told Joshua, "Select some men for us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand." And verse 10 says, "Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Okay, we got to talk about Joshua. At this point, we know nothing about Joshua, except that he was positioned as some military command. This is his first reference biblically, where we see he's not only given orders, but he heeds the orders and ultimately succeeds, as we know in verse 13. The question that comes to mind is, are you willing to lead? Can you just follow right now? I know you want to be the boss, but can you learn the business first? Joshua at this point did not know he was being prepared to deliver a people to the promised land. Joshua did not know Moses wasn't simply ordering him, but he was mentoring him. Joshua didn't know what was at stake when he was battling. He wasn't thinking about his career track and salary. He was fighting to protect his people. Joshua, with no degree, minimal recognition, no training, just obedience, succeeded. See, when you have a good leader, you're willing to do just about anything for them. I believe because Joshua witnessed the wondrous works of Moses on behalf of God, he trusted that what came from Moses had to come from God. So to be seen by Moses and chosen to select an army is to be seen by God. God always sees. Joshua did not know his revolutionary role model in Moses wouldn't make it onward towards the promises he proclaimed. Joshua's growth was gradual. When he was appointed leader over the children of Israel, his position did not cancel out his fear. That's why God told him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance." So the lesson is, divine appointments begin with encouragement to prepare you for the coming conflicts. What does this have to do with waiting? Point number 6, waiting will prepare you. That's the message. Waiting will prepare you. Like Joshua, we are being prepared for something greater. But we must allow ourselves to be humbled enough to see that where we are is a part of the plan. I said I wanted to be a professor. And God said, it's not about a position. It's about a posture. I can do that right now through you. I asked for college students. And God put me in a place where I'm working with students from 4th to 12th grade, learning the business. I have office hours with students almost daily. I teach 4 classes on Saturdays and a class on Sunday at church. He's preparing me for courses that will be fully enrolled in the future. My classes at our Saturday program are held in a college lecture hall. I design my own curriculum. I have a platform. I have attention. I have respect of young people and their families. The organization literally has the academy in its name. The song of this season is already written. I just needed to learn how to sing along. But if I'm telling the truth, I haven't always seen it like this. I didn't desire to come here initially. I didn't even want to be in Chicago. But before I made the decision on where to go post-grad, I waited. And trust, this experience, it ain't been perfect. But it's been worth it. And if I told you how long I waited for this job, most people would have moved on. If I would have allowed my frustrations with some of the expectations in the workplace, and if I would have allowed that to have driven me away, I would not have the endurance and the ability to push back professionally on things the way I do now. I am more of a professor now than I was almost 2 years ago when I started. I embody what I expect. So I am a professor. Advisor is my title, but professor is my assignment. I don't work a job. I have a profession. You see, my waiting changed my language. My calling is clearer, but it took time for it to be revealed. And all I'm trying to tell you is that it's going to take some time. And the decision we all have to make is that time worth it? Is it worth it? In an age where we're so used to shorts and reels and we're conditioned to crave bite-sized blessings. We don't have the tolerance anymore for waiting. But when I tell you we were created with the capacity for so much more, so much more. There was a time when there were no smartphones. There was no internet on your phone. You had to go to the library, get a book, speak with somebody. Leverage your resources. Have a conversation. There was a delay before knowledge was gained. There was a pursuit. And all of that has just been sped up so much. When you were in the womb, there was a wait. Before you began to speak, there was a wait. Before you began to walk, there was a wait. And when a painter paints, they have to wait. So when a switch is flipped, it can feel almost instantaneous that light arrives, that power comes. But that's because the more you're connected, the easier it is to wait. When you connect it, when you have a relationship with God, when you know it's coming. I run to the wait. Lenten season, it's like a wait times 3,000. I I participate in this tradition, if you may, because it helps me stay grounded. It's tough. It's tough out here, but it's worth it. Power comes from patience. So, some of y'all ain't low. You're just loading. That needs to be the affirmation. I ain't low. I'm just loading. I'm coming. It's coming. The power is coming. I just got to be patient. It's coming. Because when God puts you on that screen, you'll be ready. You'll be ready to be seen. Last point. Point number 7. Put your weight on it. You really got to rest in it. At first, when you start to wait, you're gonna be real antsy. You're going to be real just ready to get on with the program. But when you know you've reached a certain level of maturity in your weight, you get a little comfortable. You get a little more settled. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. I'm able to rest knowing that I did the work. I did the work. I tell people all the time, as soon as you send that application off, the cake is in the oven. You did most of the work. You just gotta prepare your plate. Yeah, you gotta watch it. But that's the easy part. The recipe, the ingredients, and mixing things with precision, following the directions. That's the difficult part. The weight. The weight is where you prepare yourself to delight in the fruit of your labor. Let me be the first to tell you, where I'm at is good, but there's more for me. So I'm still waiting on what's next, even in all I just testified about. But God continues to send those divine assurances through dreams, through conversation with people, through the word, through different signs that he reveals to you in ways that only you will see. People will say things to you and bridge connections that you didn't even realize. You're like, what? I've been hoping for this thing, and it's been coming up a lot more. I've been noticing it more. God is revealing it to you in your weight. And these aren't guarantees, but they're signs that you're on the right track. Because let me tell you, even with this fellowship I'm hoping for, it could not fall through. And that's okay. Because it was never about the product. It was always about the process. Because I can take what I've learned through the process and take it somewhere else. I know my value. I heard it like this. It's not about what you can do, but who you become through it. So it's not about doing. None of this is about doing. It's about becoming. Can you become so obedient that you know how to wait? Can God trust you with what he's given you? He knows he can trust you. That's why he sent you. That's why you are where you are. That's why you have the plans in your mind that you have. The desire was planted in your heart. So as we move forward, may we get our Selah back. And that Selah looks different for everyone. Whether it's reflection, contemplation, a praise break, exalting, whatever it may be. We need our Selah. We need to wait on the Lord. We ain't just waiting on people. We're waiting on the Lord. People come and go. People come and go. That's why we wait on the Lord. Like the song says, he will renew your strength. I assure you, renewal comes forth from waiting. It has to. It has to. That's just the law. That's just the way God designed it. When you wait, you get stronger. So I just want to pray for everyone, and we'll close out. I ain't been chatting. It's my platform, and I'm going to share all that God has given me, so it ain't chatting. But I want to just pray for us. Sometimes before you pray, before you speak, you just have to wait. You just have to be silent. Because it's not always about words. Submitting and getting in the presence of God. Sometimes it's about silence and just receiving. Before I even ask for anything, before I just thank you, God, I just wait a second. That has blessed my prayer life so much. Don't just rush into prayer. You just gotta wait. So God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us the eyes to see, the ears to hear what you would have for us, God. Thank you that through this message, people are encouraged, God. People are assured. People are affirmed in their wait, God. People are becoming firmer in their wait, God. You are establishing us right now, God. The reason we need to wait is because you're working. And some of us are so haste and hurried that we want to make it happen by our own hands, by our own doing, by our own will. But when we wait, we say, I trust you, God. We put it back into your hands. We take it out of our hands. We offer it unto you. So I ask that you just bless us all right now in our wait, God. Bless us with the community that we would need. Bless us with the knowledge and understanding that we would need, God. Increase our composure. We don't want to get it and fumble it, God. We want to get it and handle it in a way that we can bless others. So I thank you for the examples. I thank you for the scripture. I thank you for the word that we can continue to retreat to. I thank you for the signs that you have sent. I thank you that by way of the wait, it will all make sense. I thank you that we've seen it before. I thank you that you've done it. I thank you for the evidence. I thank you that you're doing it. I thank you that it is done. It's already done, God. But we have to allow the process to work. We have to trust the process. Because we know the one who is behind it all. And so I thank you that folks who are listening to this message right now would slow down enough to even hear the word. Because faith comes by hearing. And some of us have been sped up so long that we haven't heard you. We have not heard your voice. But there is nowhere we can go that we won't be seen by you, that we won't be caught by you. We are never lost in your eyes, God. I thank you that we are always found by you. So may we move forward with encouragement. May we move forward with conviction. And may we be resilient. Even when we don't have the words, even when we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, we just wait on you. We pray. Thank you for the tools to make it through the wait. We have everything we need, God. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for planting everything in us that we will already need, God. And you'll just continue it to water it everywhere we go. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord. God, we love you. And we show you that we love you through our wait. We show you that we trust you through our wait. So I thank you so much for allowing me to share my message, share my testimony and my story of my journey of what I'm working through now in real time. I'm not a finished product. None of us are. But I thank you that you've been patient with me, so much so that I can pass this on and be blessed by it myself. We thank you and we believe and we expect all of these things in your precious son, Jesus' name. Amen.